My Lord, my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We come into your presence, Lord. We come into your presence, Lord Jesus, and we know that in the Eucharist is the place where you wish to draw closest to us on this earth. When you share your body, your blood, your soul, and your divinity with us. And Jesus wants to speak with you tonight to enter deep into your heart. And what I say here is really not that important. What is important is what you say to him, what he says to you this evening. As you listen to his words, you contemplate his truths, and you look at what needs to be changed in your life, and you ask his help, and he will help you. Because he's inviting you to be a disciple. I need you to follow me in this generation. He's calling you as he called the 12. And we have the opportunity to either say yes or to say no. We have the opportunity to walk away or to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will be your disciple. I will try to walk in your footsteps and change whatever in my life needs to be changed in order to follow you closely. This evening is a great opportunity for us to tell him from the bottom of our heart with courage that we do want to follow him. We do want to be a disciple. It was probably February 1975, during his last trip to America, Saint Jose Maria was 75 years old. He would be dead within a few months. He was 75, but he was older than that because he suffered many hardships in his life, starving during the Spanish Civil War, having a very bad case of diabetes. He was shot. He was not shot with a gun, but he was gone. He was worn out. And people on that trip saw him whispering something under his breath. And they said, Father, what are you saying? And he said, I'm saying in Latin, Vultum tuum domine requiram. Lord, I long to see your face. He knew he was going to die soon. His heart was very weak. And he was saying over and over again, Lord, I long to see your face. And I wanted to pray this evening about the communion of the saints, All Saints Day, the souls in purgatory. It's why we were created. We were created to see God, to look upon God. And nothing on this earth can ever fill our hearts, the desires we have in our hearts for perfect love, for perfect beauty, for perfect goodness. We know when we don't have it. We have some inkling of it, and we know it when we've never seen it on this earth. And we're always striving for it. There's nothing on this earth that can really fill our hearts completely because this is not our true homeland. Our homeland is heaven forever, forever. And we should long to go there. As St. Augustine wrote long ago in the Confessions, Our hearts are made for thee, and restless will they be until they rest in thee. And our Lord is inviting us tonight to long to see his face, the face of the Father. And during those months toward the end of his life, when he was very weak, he also said, "Here I'm only getting in the way. I'll be able to help you more from heaven." And of course, people didn't like to hear that, but it was something, a deep truth that he knew in his heart, that from heaven, he'll be able to help us more. He'd be able to help each one of us. He'd be able to reach more people than what he was just on earth, humanly. But the saints in heaven actually can reach thousands, millions of people who pray to them. And they can intercede before God in a powerful way. And he knew that. And he wanted to help us. And we begin this month of November with the Feast of All Saints. And the first reading gives us an image of heaven. It's from the book of the Apocalypse. "I, John, saw a huge number, impossible to count, of people from every nation, race, tribe, and language. They were standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palms in their hands. They shouted aloud, 'Victory to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" A huge number of people from the whole world and the glory of heaven. And we recall also those words, important words that you, Lord, spoke to the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a sect of Jews who believed that there was no resurrection of the body, no life after death. And Jesus says to them, "Have you not read what was said to you by God? 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' He's not the God of the dead, but of the living." And so this is a very powerful fact that all souls are alive to God. All souls who were ever created as immortal souls by God are still around in God. They may have lost their earthly life, came to an end, but they still exist. All our deceased ancestors, our parents, our aunts and uncles, our Aunt Tilly out there, you know, friends and brothers, they all still exist. They're no longer with us on this earth, but they exist. They're alive to God. They have immortal souls and will not perish. God does not annihilate what he creates. He made them as immortal souls. They're out there. Julius Caesar, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And we will see them if we make it to heaven and they make it to heaven. Because in the communion of saints are those who are in heaven, those in purgatory, and also those on earth baptized who are fighting. We're all in this mystical body of Christ. They have immortal souls and will not perish. So don't forget your parents if they're deceased, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles, your great ancestors. If they died in Christ, you will see them somehow, meet them, if we make it to heaven. And so that's why, Lord, I long to see your face. You don't get to heaven if you don't aim there. You got to aim at heaven. If you want to hit a target, you got to aim at it. And each one of us can say to our Lord now, if we want to, "Lord, I want to aim at heaven every day. From the first moment of the day, may I aim at heaven. And anything that takes me away from it, I don't want." Those souls are not annihilated, which means made nothing. They're either in heaven rejoicing in purgatory being purified and readied for heaven, because no one who is not totally purified can get into heaven. But they rejoice, those souls in purgatory rejoice, because they know they're going to see God. Or the souls are in hell, eternally separated from the vision of God by their own choice. As for the unbaptized, we do not know their final relationship to God. We know that God is merciful and they can be saved through the blood of Christ, but how it works, what makes it work, we don't really know. But the church teaches that certainly people who had no contact with Christ in baptism, but tried to live a good life, can be saved through the blood and death of Jesus, but somehow through the mercy of God. But the normal way that God has set up is baptism and the sacraments, where we share the very body and blood of Christ, become one with him, and become heirs to heaven, heirs to glory. We inherit, not as something that's given to us by our merits, but we inherit it because we belong to him, his family. He lives in us, we live in him. It's an incredible thing, what we have in the Eucharist, and the forgiveness we have in penance. So don't forget those who have gone before us. Pray for them that they get to heaven. Pray to them, if they're in heaven, to intercede for us. Don't forget them, because they can intercede for us. And today we're reminded here in your presence, Lord, that the only real failure or disaster in life is not to get to heaven. Everything else that happens in this life is of only relative value and passing away. That's a very liberating thought. Don't worry about what happens to you in this world, what the world calls success or failure. This life is short compared to eternity. The only thing that really matters is getting to heaven. And in the scope of eternity, this life is going to seem like a little blip, really, once we're into eternity, a little blip. St. Teresa of Avila said it's like a bird flying through a house, going in one window and out the other. That time in that house is our life in this earth. But there's a huge time before it, a huge time afterwards. And the main things that we use this life to aim at heaven, to get to heaven, to choose heaven, to choose God, to choose to follow him. Because that's what this life is about. St. Teresa also said that our life on earth is like a bad night in a bad inn, you know, Motel 6 or something like that. So those places where you get lice in your hair, you know, if you're not careful. Very short, very rough. But the goal is heaven. And so the message is, aim at heaven, the glory of heaven. It's not selfish to think about heaven, because it's God's plan that we get there. Our Lord did all this. He became a man. He died on the cross, remained in the Eucharist, gave us confession so that we could get to heaven, to the glory of heaven, that we would not be trapped, tricked, pulled down by the devil. That we could get there. And so he wants us to think about it, where neither eye has seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. To desire it, it's a good thing, it's not selfish. It's God's plan for us. And it's good to talk to your children, your grandchildren about heaven, wanting to be there. These can be scary things, contemplating death this month. But considering our own death has the salutary effect of focusing our minds on what is really important. And this month, it is good to think about our own death, which will come sooner or later, but for everyone. the statistics are in, the data is all in. 100% of people who have died, who lived on this earth, are now dead. 100%. Everyone dies. Focus on that. We have to be real, be ready. This is going to happen to us. As a matter of fact, you know, sometimes we're, you know, bothered because of something like the death of a child, death of someone innocent. But at the same time, it shakes us, but it can also wake us up from frivolity and focus on why I'm here, where I'm going. It can shake us out of sin. But sometimes, Lord, we need to be shaken out of sin. We can ask you right now, each one of us, Lord, shake me out of any sins that I'm caught in, stuck in, plunged into. Get me out of them. And he will. And ask the saints to help you. Let's not live in a fake world of entertainment. It's so easy today to get hooked into that fake world of constant entertainment. Constant titillation. We can be, you know, we can binge on whatever series we want, whenever we want, get whatever food we want, whenever we want, and not face reality. And to realize we've got to fight too, because we're struggling against the forces and the powers of darkness that are after us. The devils, the demons are as real as angels and saints. And they have a different mission than we do. They hate mankind, whereas God loves mankind. And even more, I'd like to propose something tonight to all of you that maybe you haven't thought about before, maybe you didn't think you're worthy of it, but it's to aim to jump over purgatory. That you don't got to go to purgatory. You can aim at heaven. You can do your purgatory here on earth. That was St. Jose Maria's goal. He said, I wanted to jump over purgatory like a bullfighter jumps over the wall. Now, I don't know what that has to refer to. I've never seen a bullfight, and I don't know what a wall is about. But if a bull was in this room, you'd probably jump over a wall, too, to get out of there, you know, to get out of that ring. Anyway, to jump over purgatory. And the fact is, if we embrace the challenges of each day, the aches, the pains, the tiredness, the hard work, the patience with our spouse, our family, our boss, our colleagues, the cold. If we just embrace those things, instead of complaining about them, instead of saying, I hate this, instead of saying, you know, why am I here and complaining, if we embrace them and offer them to our Lord as penance, we can do our penance on this earth. That God gives us those opportunities. And so often we throw down that cross. We throw down those opportunities. But we can have that joy and peace of seeing, wow, these are opportunities. I don't want to miss them. I'm tired, but I'm going to persevere in my work. I'm not going to give in to distractions. This person is bothering me, but I'm going to smile and listen. It's rained and I forgot my umbrella. Okay, Lord, I can offer this for my sins. I mean, if we want to, we can joyfully embrace all these things and it will bring peace to your life. And also, we can get many other souls out of purgatory. We can offer them all these things for others, for the souls in purgatory, to get them out. Let's be eager this month to win penance for ourselves and be penance for the souls in purgatory. You know, just fighting against our lust, you know, that's worth a lot. To not give in to those temptations of thoughts. To fighting against that extra drink when I've already had too many. To offer them to our Lord. It's worth a lot. That's the penance. That's purgatory. You don't got to go to purgatory. Our Lord gives us the opportunity. And they say there's bargain basement prices here on earth. It's easier to do your penance here on earth than it is to do it in purgatory. So that's important for us to realize that. And then we look at our day, instead of complaining, rebelling at things that happen, to us, we thank our Lord for these opportunities. And we look at the, you know, the challenge of putting up with my kids when I'm tired to come home from work or whatever situation. And I see it as an opportunity to grasp and not to waste those opportunities that you, Lord, are sending us. These little crosses, don't throw them down. Embrace them now. Let's ask our Lord, each one of us can tell him, I want to have that attitude. Jesus himself tells us in one of the Beatitudes, happy are those who are persecuted in the cause of right. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when people abuse you and persecute you and speak all kinds of calumny against you. On my account, you get abused for standing up for Christ, for living your faith, for being faithful as a husband. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Jesus says to you and to me right now, don't worry. But today I also want to consider here with Jesus this great communion, this union, or this community of all those who die in Christ and all the baptized on this earth. We're all in this, what they call communion of saints. We all have this bond. We're all in the mystical body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We're all the members. And equally in this mystical body are us on earth who are baptized, those who are in heaven, and those in purgatory. And just like one body, we can communicate with each other through prayer, but also through intercession and grace. We can pray. The souls in heaven can pray for those on earth and those in purgatory. Those on earth can pray for those in purgatory. We can help each other. Just like in a body, when a body is healthy, the whole body helps each other. But also, when part of a body is not healthy, not functioning, dead even, it hurts the whole body. And that's serious sin, that we hurt the whole body of Christ if we fall into serious sin. We're like a dead member. You know, you have a dead member in your body, it's pretty bad. It impacts the whole body. If we don't struggle for holiness, if we're lukewarm, we're not helping other Christians around the world who need our prayers, who need our prayers that they convert and turn back to our Lord, go to confession, come back to life. So, given the community of saints, how we live has an impact on so many other people in the church. We can send that good arterial blood. We can send graces to people all over the world to convert, to come back, to strive for holiness, to renew their lives. So a lot depends on our struggle. On the level. If I let myself go lukewarm, I hurt the whole body in Christ. If I let myself fall into serious sin, I hurt the whole body of Christ. But we know, Lord, it doesn't matter how weak we are. We know the important things, we begin and begin again. Holiness doesn't mean people never sinned. Doesn't mean people just confirmed in all goodness and light. People lived extraordinary lives of union with God. Yes, there are some of those, but most of us, we're all sinners and full of weaknesses. But God takes that into account and offers us abundant mercy. Doesn't matter where you've been, how low you've fallen, where you've been, what matters is where you end up, that you turn back to our Lord. You ask his forgiveness using the sacrament of confession. Doesn't mean to be a saint, doesn't mean we never fail. But it means we get back up. We always turn back to our Lord. And each one of us can say, Lord, I long to see your face. It may be that I've wasted much time in my life. No matter. Begin again now, tonight. I've hurt so many people in my life. It's never too late. Begin again now, tonight. I've been a poor spouse. Begin again now. I've been a poor father. Begin again now, tonight, in our Lord's presence. Tell him you want to begin again. I've lived so far from God, no matter, begin again. I've been so dishonest. Begin again now. Holiness is not about getting everything right all the time, but beginning again, running back to the Lord in weakness. The devil cannot keep us from God, no matter how weak we are, as long as you run to our Lord. Never fear the devil. He's like a barking dog, but he's chained up. If we don't go near him, he can't get us. If we go near him, he will bite us. We have to end. We'll always be able to be in that communion of saints that we want to be in forever with the Lord. Lord, I long to see your face. We could tell him tonight. And from heaven, you'll be able to do a lot of good also. We have a unique path to walk, but it can always be to him if we want to. And we have our Mother Mary always to meet us on the way. When we're most tired, most worn out, or most find that cross most heavy, she'll be there with us to help us on that way back to Jesus. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.